If your life was to be summed up in one statement, what would that statement be? If a preacher were doing your funeral and he was to make one statement about you as an individual, what one statement would you want him to make about your life? You know, it's interesting how we remember people, isn't it? Sometimes we may say about a person, oh, I remember him. He never met a stranger. He could strike up a conversation with anyone. Or, oh, I'm telling you, that woman just fascinated me because she raised 8 children by herself. I'll never forget that. She raised 8 children by herself. Or maybe somebody might say, he always loved his wife. That's the one thing I remember about him is the love he had for her. I've never seen another man that could love his wife the way this man loved his. Or maybe somebody might say, she was an excellent teacher. I had her in this grade. She was one of my best teachers. How would you be remembered? It's interesting that when you come to Joshua chapter 14, there's a statement made about a man named Caleb. It's not made one time in verses 6 through 15, which is what we have before us. Not made one time, not made twice, made 3 different times. Same statement. The first time we encounter it, it's on the lips of Caleb. Verse 8 of Joshua 14, I wholly followed the Lord my God. The second time we find it is in the very next verse. It's made by Moses. And it's made at a time 45 years earlier, but being remembered. Because Moses is the one that said, you have followed the Lord my God. Wholly followed the Lord my God. The third time we find it in that passage is down in verse 14. It's made by the narrator of the book of Joshua. And he says, he wholly, speaking about Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It's found the fourth time outside of this book over in the book of Numbers. It is actually on the lips of God as God is speaking to Moses 45 years before what we're reading here in the book of Joshua. And this is the way God speaks to Moses. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he is a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. And finally, it's found a fifth time in the book of Deuteronomy, over in chapter 1, verse 36, as Moses is recounting something that God had said to him 40 years before. God had said to him, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. Now let me ask you, what is Caleb remembered for? He followed the Lord his God fully, wholeheartedly, as one translation says. That is the way that Caleb is remembered in Scripture. He was a man who wholeheartedly followed the Lord his God. Tonight I want to take you back 45 years from this point in time that we see here in Joshua chapter 14 and look at what series of events brought about this statement concerning him, and then come forward to the point that we have in Joshua chapter 14, which is 45 years after that statement that we see back in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, and see what God does for him, and then what is it that we are to learn from all of this? Because folks, to be honest, we're 3,500 years removed from that point in time. So what is it that God wants us to take away from this? So let's go back. Go back to the days when the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've crossed over the Red Sea. They have been given the Ten Commandments. And now they are camping in what is called the wilderness of Paran, in an area specifically known as Kadesh Barnea. God, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, instructs Moses to select 12 men who were leaders from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and these men are to go in and spy out the land. The leader chosen from the tribe of Judah is a man named Caleb, son of Jephunneh. And here is, or here are, maybe I should say, the instructions which Moses gives to these men as we read them in Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 18. He says there, "See what the land is like, whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or is it bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort to get some of the fruit of the land." So this is their responsibility. They are to come back, go into the land, search it out, examine it, come back and give a report of all that they found. They go into the land, they're there for 40 days. On their way back, they collect a big cluster of grapes that is so large they have to put a pole to support it between two men. They bring back some pomegranates and also some figs because they want to show the people what the produce of the land is like. And when they come back, they give their report. They acknowledge, Numbers 13 verse 27 brings it out, they acknowledge that the land is just like God said. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's a very beautiful, very productive land. And they presented the fruit. Look, here's what we brought back. But then 10 of the spies gave a very discouraging report. As it is recorded for us by Moses there in Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, here's what they said. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." The Anak was the descendant of the giants. "Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." As the people listened to the report, they became more and more afraid. And pessimism began to develop among the children of Israel until finally Caleb dared to disagree with the report that had been made by the 10 spies. He stepped forward. He demonstrated great boldness and courage because he quieted the people. And then he said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for surely we will overcome it." Verse 30. For the moment, Joshua remained quiet. There's no indication that he says a word. He allows Caleb to do the talking. Caleb stood out at that moment in time as a man of great courage and conviction and boldness, one that was willing to face threatening situations head on. What began to happen quickly is as the pessimism developed into fear, and the fear that had been generated by these 10 spies became anger and rebellion against Moses, Joshua steps in, tears his garments, and then speaks and tries to reason with the people, which we see over Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. "If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us." And then in verse 9, "Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But the people didn't listen. They decided, "We can't do it." And they became so angry with Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb that they threatened to stone them. And had God not stepped in, they probably would have. And when God stepped in, He stepped in as one who was ready to destroy these people. All of them, right then and there. And start over again with Moses. But Moses pleaded with the Lord for him to spare their lives, and God listened to him, and God relented, and God did not bring about the original punishment that He had cited, but He gave a partial judgment. And this was what it was. Because of their unbelief and because of their failure to obey Him, God declared that all of the adult generation Everyone from 20 years and above would not enter into that land. They were going to die in the wilderness over the next 40 years. Only their children would see the land. The only two exceptions to that declaration were Joshua and Caleb. And of Caleb, the Lord said, as Numbers 14, verse 24 records it for us, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." Fast forward with me, if you will, 45 years. The children of Israel are now in the land of promise. Caleb is 85 years old. For 5 years, he has supported Joshua and the rest of the Israelites as they have brought about the conquest of the land that God had promised all those years before. He remembered, 85 years, he remembered the promise God had made to him 45 years ago as if it was yesterday. And there in Joshua chapter 14, if you'll notice verse 9, here is his remembrance of that promise. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.'" And Caleb acknowledged, "The Lord has let me live," just as he spoke, "these 45 years. I'm here today because God allowed me to live all these years so that I could see this. He has fulfilled his promise." And then he informed Joshua. I love this part. "I am as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in." 85 years old, and he says, "I'm just as good of a soldier as I was 45 years ago. I can go in, I can come out, I'm ready." How many of you that are 85 could say that about you like you were when you were 40? I spoke with a man today, and he said, "You know, I'm just not, it wears me out now." He was 68 years old, and he said, "I can't do what I could do just a few years ago." But here's Caleb saying, "I'm just as good as I was 45 years ago." And then he says this, verse 12, "Now then, give me the hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." If you had been there on the day that Caleb had spoken those words, you might have said, but Caleb, you said it's hill country. You're going to have a lot of hills climb. A little exercise does the body good. Caleb, you said the Anakim were there. You remember those are giants. Haven't you ever heard? Bigger they are, the harder they fall. Caleb, there are fortified cities on those hills. That's okay. What's a little wall now and then? Let me at them. Joshua remembered. Joshua, as we are told, blessed him. And in doing so, what he did is he brought about what God had promised him. He gave him the land, and I love what we read over in chapter 15 and verse 14. It's these words. "Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." Giants, what are giants? I think you can honestly say that the Lord was with him. 85 years old, took the land, no fear. God gave it to me, I just have to go get it. What are we to learn from this? Is God saying that 85 we're going to be able to go do some great thing? Maybe, maybe not. I think there's some principles though that are laid down by what we see in Caleb's life. Principles that I hope that I can adhere to, and I would like to encourage you to do the same, because all of these principles have to do with what God does for the individual who honors Him. The individual who follows Him fully. And the first of those is this. God honors that individual who walks in His will. If you go back and you look at Caleb, three times there in Joshua 14, we read that God's blessing on Caleb is based upon the fact that Caleb fully followed the Lord, wholeheartedly followed God. God honored his faithfulness and his obedience to God's commands. And the truth is, God does the same for us. If we will faithfully follow Him, He will honor us, because that is the type of God that we serve. Yes, I know, Caleb did not get to go into the land because of the others, the rest of Israel that were unfaithful and were disobedient and didn't think they could take the land. So Caleb, for 45 years, had to trudge along with a group of people who were unwilling to do what God had said, and he had to suffer their punishment for a while in not getting to go into the land. He didn't die, but day by day, as he grew older, he had to watch and wait until finally God could fulfill His promise to him. But God did bless him because he walked in His will. Second thing is this. God honors that individual who takes a stand against the majority when the majority is wrong. It doesn't matter if everybody believes it. If it's wrong, it's still wrong, folks. Doesn't matter how many people support it. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. And God honors those who will take a stand against the majority, even when the majority is wrong. Caleb's obedience 40 years ago, or 45 years ago, in Kadesh Barnea, was in the context of this minority report. What I mean by that is 10 spies had voted in favor of disobedience. We can't do it. There are giants in the land. We cannot, and they're fortified cities. We cannot take the land. And the people believed the 10. And yet Caleb stepped forward and said, we can do this. God has given us the land. It's easy to side with the majority, especially when the majority attacks our convictions. And sometimes that's what we're called upon to do, is to compromise as Christians, especially when fear is involved. But Caleb didn't do that. You see, Caleb took the lead. Caleb spoke out, even when Joshua seems to have remained silent. Caleb still spoke. And the question for each of us is this: will we do the same? If we know that something is wrong, will we say, this is wrong? I can't go down this road with you. I can't support what you're doing here because what you're doing is wrong. And stand up and speak for what's right. If we will, God will honor us for doing that. God also honors the individual who takes a stand for Him, even though it may mean rejection for them by the group. You know, because Caleb took a stand, the children of Israel literally wanted to stone him to death. Now, most of us have never had our lives threatened because we took a stand for God or for His Word, but it's still easy to be fearful and intimidated in the face of minor rejection by those who do not want to do what God says do. And yet God calls us to be faithful to Him. Do you remember when Peter and John were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin and told to no longer speak in the name of Jesus? This was the religious ruling body of their day. To be rejected and cast out of the temple or refused to be granted entrance into the synagogue was a major thing in that day and time. But listen to what they said as Luke records it for us in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Because they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. In other words, we can't go along with it. You can kick us out of the synagogue. You can throw us out of the temple. But we can't stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Folks, even if there are those that will not support us, even if there are those that will say, I don't know you anymore, you're not a part of my group, We still need to do what God says is right, regardless of the rejection that we may face because of what we're doing. And God honors the individuals who will do that. Fourth thing is this: God honors those individuals who faithfully follow Him. We know that Caleb had been faithful for 45 years. And I believe he had been faithful all of his life. And God was going to honor him. Though God chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, Caleb was content to work behind the scenes, if you will. Because we don't read anything else very much about Caleb except for the time when he goes in to spy out the land and the time when God's promise is fulfilled to him. So for almost 45 years, there's a silence about this man. We read a lot about Joshua, but not about Caleb. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to become jealous when somebody else receives the recognition and is placed in the limelight even though you have done a great deal of the work? Yeah, it is. It's easy for that to happen when other Christians receive more attention than we do, especially when we feel that we deserve it as much as they do. To be faithful behind the scenes, that's difficult. But folks, it's the true test of character. If you can be faithful when nobody notices what you're doing, that's the true test of character. And God often tests us to see how we're going to handle those situations. Because it may be that He has a greater responsibility He wants to give to us. So I want to encourage you to remain faithful to God in your life. Doesn't matter if it's for 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, however long it may be, remain faithful. And then the last thing that I think we can take away from this is this: God will not forget those who serve Him faithfully and consistently. You see, God honored and rewarded Caleb initially by allowing him to enter the promised land. He spared his life those 45 years, as Caleb acknowledged. He allowed him to enter the promised land, but he fulfilled his promise to Caleb by giving him the land upon which he had set foot when he was spying out the land all those years before, even as Moses had said. And God always honors faithful obedience. He will do that. I want you to remember this: God never forgets. Eventually, He will reward the faithful for their obedience. It may be in this life, it may be in the life to come. Besides, eternal rewards are the ones that really count anyway, aren't they? What we have that awaits us on the other side. Let me come back to my question that I started with tonight. For what will you be remembered? When you are no longer here, what will people most remember about you? Will it be that you were a person who wholeheartedly followed God? I pray that it is. Because when everything is said and done, folks, this is the only thing that really matters. Did you follow God with all of your heart? Most of our hymnals have four stanzas for the hymn that we know as Amazing Grace. Originally, John Newton, when he wrote it, put seven stanzas in. And there are two that I want to share with you as we conclude tonight. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. What will you possess when your mortal life ceases? When you draw your final breath, what will you possess? Because it won't be anything left here upon this earth. Only you know the answer to that. Do you have a home where the saints abide? Is your eternal salvation secure? God honors those who are faithful to Him. Will you be faithful to Him tonight? We need more Calebs, more individuals who will stand up and do the right thing, more that will say, I want to do whatever God says. I'll follow Him wherever He leads me. Where He leads, I will follow. We sing that. Are you willing to do that tonight? Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. I can honestly tell you, you're not following Him yet. Until you are willing to give your life to Him in obedient faith, turn away from whatever has kept you away from Him, however long it may be. Have your sins washed away in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You haven't begun to follow Him. Why not tonight? Maybe you're a child of God, and you know I haven't been following. I've been giving lip service to it, but I haven't really followed. Why not tonight? If you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?